Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, y'all, and what is up? I am Jeff Nowak. This is WWLAMFM.com. And we're live on the Odyssey app, filling in for Steve Geller. Tonight, we're going to have a busy show. We're going to bring on Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion linebacker for the Saints, and also Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer later in the show. Go all in on LSU baseball. It's Monday. It feels like, you know, anytime you see this series end in two games, it feels like we get robbed a little bit of the Monday game. But I don't know. If you were out there in that heat on Saturday and Sunday for LSU and West Virginia, I don't think you obviously West Virginia would prefer to be playing today, but I don't think anyone was complaining about going inside to some air conditioning.
Yeah, we got a couple of game threes yesterday, but those were for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend series. As far as the right side of the bracket, Arkansas in two, LSU in two, and then UCLA in two over UT San Antonio. We do have one game three on right now, Jeff.
And just started.
Yeah, we'll keep people updated. Murray State with a leadoff home run against Duke to take a 1-0 lead there. And Murray State is a real interesting story because every year they'll have the prop, like, will a 4-seed make it to the College World Series? And a lot of times it doesn't really happen. They'll win a regional and get to super regional play, but then they're out ahead of the College World Series. But Murray State, with their red-hot bats, we had a texter that shot me a text asking if anyone had scored more runs than LSU in this postseason. LSU's put up 61 runs so far in the games that they've played. Murray State hasn't beat. They've put up 65 runs in the postseason so far, and they're looking to close out Duke in this 2-1 matchup. We'll see what happens. It's now up 2-0. One last thing about Duke, though, Jeff, before we continue with this. The ESPN crew just had the stat that they've lost 6 straight win and in games to the College World Series. Duke has been like regional demons, but they can't get out of the super regional round. The last time they were in the College World Series was 1961. So, a couple numbers there. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you updated because that's the last team that has to fill out the field of 8 in Omaha this weekend.
Yeah, speaking of regional demons, we got a text over on the Okanard Jewelers Talking text line talking about if LSU matches up with Arizona, it would be made for TV, a rematch Jay Johnson with his former team. I can do you one better. If LSU matches up with Coastal Carolina in the championship game, it'll be a double rematch because LSU will get to go against Coastal Carolina. But if you recall, that year Coastal Carolina walked in here and beat the Tigers in the Supers, it was Arizona, Jay Johnson's Arizona, that they actually took down in the championship series. So a little double revenge there.
Yeah, 2016, that was Jay Johnson's first year leading Arizona. He makes them all the way to the College World Series finals, and then they lose it to that Coastal Carolina team. And Coastal, the 13 seed, I've said that they were underseeded. They just got seeded the way they were because they're a Sun Belt team. Auburn was a little bit overseeded. Coastal goes in and sweeps Auburn this past weekend to advance to the College World Series. So we'll see what happens there. As you mentioned, Arizona or Coastal would be real fun matchups for LSU if they're to get to the College World Series finals. But another one I'm keeping an eye on, and this isn't LSU related, if Arkansas makes it all the way, look who's on the left side of the bracket, that Oregon State team that stole their hearts back in 2018. So a few, like, the committee did a great job of seeding this thing, and I think some seeds just kind of worked out. But only getting three of the top eight national seeds to the College World Series is definitely interesting as well. There's a lot of upsets throughout this bracket. Arizona taking out UNC after losing their first game 18-2. They win the best of three series, back-to-back wins against the North Carolina Tar Heels, which we'll talk with Mark Etheridge later on. Mark had said if any non-SEC team is going to win it, he thought it was going to be UNC. And they fall short of the College World Series by getting upset by Arizona. Coastal from the Sun Belt. A lot of representation from different conferences, too, here, Jeff, because Oregon State, I guess they're still technically...
Well, that's
like,
just because the Pac-12 disbanded. Yeah, otherwise, UCLA, it would be very Pac-12.
UCLA technically out of the Big Ten. Like, yeah. Arizona technically out of the Big 12. Oregon State is independent, but I guess they're technically part of Pac-12. I don't really know.
The theme of this year's College World Series is the ghost of the Pac-12.
It's funny because it's just the inverse of what we saw last year, where it was all ACC and SEC in the College World Series. This year, like, the most we could get is a pair of ACC teams. We already have two SEC teams in there, but that's if Duke can come back against this Murray State team who's about to break this game open in the top of the first.
Yeah, you know, so we have some odds on by a sports betting AG, can't talk today. Arkansas has the best odds at about 2-1, and then LSU follows them up at about 2.5-1. They just happen to be playing each other in the first game of that side of the bracket. Then you have Coastal Carolina at about 6-1, Oregon State at 6.5-1, then UCLA at 10-1, Arizona at 12-1, Louisville at 16-1, and then Duke at 2-1. If Murray State gets through, there'd be 75-1 underdogs to win the whole thing.
Yeah, Duke at higher odds, but Duke's kind of getting killed in this opening game against.
Well, being a favorite is not does not help you all that much in this year's tournament.
It doesn't.
The SEC figured that out.
It's been upset riddled, which is why, you know, it's so impressive Jay Johnson getting this LSU team back to Omaha for the second time in 3 years. You see all these programs that were loaded with talent.
Yeah.
And all these teams that went through the regular season had fantastic years, and they fall short of the College World Series just because the college baseball tournament, sometimes it's like this. It's very unpredictable. Like, you can talk about the numbers of, you know, the host for regionals and hosting for the supers and winning game one of your super, but it's never 100%, Jeff. So this year has been very fascinating to follow. It's been very upset riddled, like we mentioned, and it's wide open. I know that Arkansas and LSU are the favorites, but the fact that you're looking at Coastal at number three on the sportsbook betting odds, that kind of tells you what you're looking at there.
Yeah, I feel like they're just the favorites because they're out of the SEC and people still are like, what's still the SEC, right? Like, just because all these teams lost, that was still a elite conference of teams. They just, you know, it's a weird tournament.
Yeah, so they're also two of the top five teams in the country. I know LSU got like the 6th seed. Arkansas got the 3 seed. And they're the two highest seeds remaining because, yeah, I mean, you look at Oregon State, they're at 8. Once again, only 3 of the top 8 national seeds making it to Omaha is a story in and of itself. But then you also have Coastal as the 13 seed getting in there, UCLA as a 15 seed, and then it's a bunch of 2 seeds and potentially a 4 seed here with Murray State if they can take down Duke in this winner-take-all game.
I do find Coastal fascinating, and not just because I covered Coastal Carolina for a few years when I worked up in Myrtle Beach. They're just like, they kind of remind me, you know, in every sport there's one or two schools that are just really good at one thing. And for Coastal, that's baseball. Like, they have nothing else to offer. I mean, like, the football, they're okay. They got the teal field, you know, but they're never really a threat. And you can't really be a threat out of a group of five conference. But, like, it's rare to find a program that small with that little money behind it that legitimately competes for titles as frequently as they do. It kind of reminded me of UConn in basketball, at least men's basketball.
Yeah, they said that they weren't a Cinderella, and they really aren't.
They're not.
I mean, that's the one thing if you watch this Coastal team play, and they went to Auburn and took both games against the Tigers in their first ever Super Regional at home at Plainsview Park. And that's the thing about this Coastal team. It's different than in years past because they've had these really good teams, but it's been very much hitter-centric, and they can bash the cover off the ball. This year, Joe Healy from D1 made a great point about this Coastal team where they're fantastic at pitching. They have a great staff. They have 3 starting pitchers that they can trust. They have good bullpen arms. That's what kind of separates this Coastal team from years in the past where, yes, they can beat you in a 10-9 type of game. This year, they're holding teams down with their excellent pitching staff, and that's what makes them probably, as you mentioned, the 3rd highest odds to win the whole thing. They're on the left side of the bracket too, which, you know, if you want a reset of the bracket right now, The College World Series, for those that don't know, it's basically two regionals, except that there's a day break in between games. So the left side of the bracket turns into one regional where it's a double elimination bracket format. The right side does the same. On the left side, you have Louisville, the two seed that won, you know, the Vanderbilt regional, went all the way through, beat Miami and the Supers. And then you have Oregon State, the number eight national seed. You have Arizona, the two seed that won the Oregon regional and then upset North Carolina in the Chapel Hill Super. And then you have Coastal, the number 13 overall seed in the tournament. So those four teams will play a double elimination format bracket similar to a regional, where on the right side, it's UCLA, the 15 seed, LSU, the 6 seed, and Arkansas, the 3 seed. So you can kind of see the right side of the bracket's a little bit more, I guess, top heavy. It's got more talented teams, I would imagine, from top to bottom, versus the left side, which has a few more kind of underdog stories with like this Louisville team and Arizona team making it out as 2 seeds.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and it always is when you get to the College World Series, because it's effectively a new tournament, right? Like, you have the NCAA tournament, and it kind of feels like that's the entire bracket trying to get to the second tournament, and then you just kind of reset. Charlie, I'm curious what you think, because, you know, when I was watching those games the last 2 days, you know, even LSU, the pitchers, it seemed like the heat was taking it out of them, and they just had a little bit more in the tank because they're a little more used to it. Because every time it would seem like West Virginia would have a pitcher who was doing well, and then it would just fall off a cliff, right? And it just seemed like, and you heard that the pitcher's name yesterday, it's escaping me.
He was
under the weather, but it's like, okay, was he under the weather or was it just the weather, right?
Because the heat getting to him.
It just seemed like every time they had something going, they would just disappear. And even Ianson yesterday, he was rolling. He struck out the first four batters, and then it just seemed like he lost a little something. Cade Anderson, he allowed 7 runs. Like, that's not normal. Like, West Virginia, they're a good offense, but they're not that type of offense. And then it's hot, the ball's flying out. I don't know. I feel like the heat impacted that series about as much as I've seen weather impact a baseball series in the NCAA tournament.
So the thing with Cade, and then I'll talk about the West Virginia pitchers here in just a second. The thing with Cade that was a little bit interesting was he was rolling to start that game.
Right.
He was battling Griffin Kern, you know, inning for inning. And Kern eventually ran out of gas too. And that's when I think like they hit the grand.
I think he had a no-hitter through 3 innings.
Right, and then they open it up with Curiel's 3-run home run in the fourth off of him. He doesn't get through 4 innings. And that was a huge key from Andrew Caridi, the voice of the Mountaineers, told us that they wanted both of those starters, Kern and Cartsonis, who were both like, I think Kern had a 3.1 ERA and Cartsonis was at like a 2.9 entering the matchup. Both of them were excellent all year long, but he said a big key was getting them through 5.
Yeah,
Kern gets through 4, Cartsonis only gets through 2. And LSU's offense put a ton of pressure on them. They were out there for a long time on different stretches. And as you mentioned, the heat can easily get to you. As far as Cade Anderson goes, like, yes, he gave up 6 runs, but a lot, or 6 earned runs, technically 7 runs. But there was one stretch where he gets hit in the arm by a pitch or by a hit. And I think he changed a little bit after that. But also, if you'll remember, the 7th spot that LSU put up in the 5th inning before they scored 4 in the 6th, Cade was sitting for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That was a very long stretch to be out of the game. He gets run back in there, and then he gives up the 4 runs after he was hit by a pitch in the inning prior.
I also think there's a bit of an edict to, you're not nibbling when you're up by that many runs. Like, you're trying to put innings down. And if it takes putting the ball over the plate and letting them put it in play, you do that.
That's why he came out for the 7th. Because LSU puts up 6 runs in the 6th after Cade gives up those 4.
Right.
And then they throw him back out there just to get him through the 7 innings. And he really battled. And if you'll look at his kind of post-game interview, because he was part of the presser with the other players, he was frustrated. Like,
really
aggravated. Because this is a guy that's been fantastic all season long. You know, he wanted to go out in a good way at the box. And he had, you know, he basically gave up almost a season high in earned runs. And so you're looking for Cade Anderson to come out annoyed in his opener in Omaha, and that could be a scary thing for the Arkansas hitters.
I'm looking forward to seeing Chase Shores in a safe situation in one of these games, because he's filthy. He knew he wasn't getting touched.
You saw his strut when he came off after the 8th inning,
yeah.
And then he comes back out, and he was just confident.
Just tosses
the
glove.
The one thing with Chase Shores is when he's confident and throwing his pitches with conviction, he's impossible to hit. Like, college hitters can't touch the guy. There's a reason that Ben McDonald's come over these airwaves and said he's a first-round talent. He's got the stuff. The issue with him at times has been command, but when he's throwing, once again, with confidence, he's a filthy pitcher out of the bullpen for this LSU team, and he could be a very key piece in Omaha. I agree with you, Jeff.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Charlie Long. We're on Sports Talk, taking you up till 8 p.m. Going to hit the break and come back with former Saints linebacker and Super Bowl champion Scott Shanley. Got a lot of mini camp talk to get into over the next 90 minutes. Keep it locked on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Coming back in on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, taking you up till 8 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're in here in the cool air conditioning for now. That's going to change starting tomorrow, at least for me. We're going to be out in Metairie, ideally under the sun. We'll see if the weather complies, with fans out in attendance. The first time I can remember the Saints having fans out at minicamp practices. So it'll be a lot of fun. First fan-attended practice since 2023, which is weird to say. So no one better to talk about that with than former Saints linebacker and Super Bowl champion Scott Shanley on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Scott, how you doing? You staying cool?
Oh, yeah, trying to.
You know, Scott, one of the things, and Bobby and Mike were talking about this yesterday, and I did find it interesting, or maybe it was the other day. I can't remember what day it was. I'm losing track of time. But, you know, when we've watched these practices with Kellen Moore, if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't have realized that this is a first-time head coach. The practices just seem to be running smoothly, efficiently. There's not a lot of wasted time. And, you know, I'm just curious. You were out there in 2006 with Sean in his first year. You know, what do you remember from those practices? Were you aware that you were practicing for a first-time head coach? I'm just curious how you would recall those practices.
Well, yeah, I think you know, being a first-time head coach is kind of much like being a rookie or a young player. You're trying to prove yourself. And I think there's an edge to those guys who get their first opportunity to show, you know, what they can do. And, you know, I think the one thing about Kellen is he was at three different stops, pretty close proximity in the last 3 years, worked with really good quarterbacks, but you go all the way back to even Dallas, and you know there was talk that he was possibly a candidate to be the head coach in Dallas, even when he was a young player and only been assistant coach for a few years. So there was obviously signs there that he had great leadership abilities. So I think when you're a young guy, like I said, when you get that first opportunity, you're out to make a name for yourself, and there's a balancing act, and I think Sean Payton did this really well. It's you have to walk around and cast a shadow, and everybody knows who's the boss and who's in charge. But you also have to be relatable to the players, and I think that's the balancing act you have to have as a first-time head coach.
Yeah, and I mean, so things have changed a lot since 2006. Obviously, you don't do nearly as much work in these practices, at least not on the field. You know, it's been all 7-on-7s. You know, what would you say are some of the challenges that come with not having as much time on task with, you know, there's no more two-a-days, stuff like that. You know, it does seem like from an onlooker's perspective that it's gotta kind of increase the curve of what you have to get done in such a limited amount of time.
Absolutely. And, you know, just like you said, you know, this time of year, even go back to when I played and, guys talk about, the biggest change since that time is the training camp. And it's hard to get guys physically ready for the season with the way they're doing training camp now. But this time of the offseason, it's still the exact same. And this time of the offseason, what you're working on is you're working on team chemistry. You're working offensively and defensively, schematically. What do we do well? Who does it well? What type of packages should we do? And then offensively, you're trying to get that timing and rhythm down in the passing game. And, you know, sometimes when the pads go on and the pass rush is on a quarterback, they don't have that time to get comfortable to develop that rhythm. So this is a great time of year to get quarterbacks comfortable, to get receivers comfortable. It's kind of a boring time of year for a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. Their time to shine comes when the pads go on come August and late July. So there's a lot that can be accomplished this time of the year. That's why you like to see great participation in OTAs, because I firmly believe, and I said this even back when we had the Super Bowl team, is you win championships in the offseason. You win championships with the way your team comes together this time of year.
Yeah, and what would you want to see from Tyler Shuck at this point? And even Spencer Rattler. You know, we talk about Spencer like he's the old guy. He's actually younger than Tyler Shuck. He's born a year later on that exact same day. They're both born on September 26th. But what would you want to see from those young quarterbacks in the offseason at this point to feel like they are, you know, on the trajectory they need to be ready by the start of the season?
Yeah, I think trying to emulate a real-life game as close as you can. Obviously, with no pads, you don't have the same type of pass rush. You don't have those guys breathing down your neck as a quarterback, and that's what really changes the game once the pads do go on. But still, these guys are going, not Spencer, because Spencer, let's be honest, I said this last year in some of our postgame shows, he's going to benefit so much from those 5 or 6 games that he played in last year as a fifth-round pick. A lot of times that doesn't ever happen for guys. And because of the injuries, he got so much time, so much actual game repetition to see the speed of the NFL game. That's really going to help him in this quarterback competition. As far as Tyler goes, he's got to adjust to the speed of the game. And every position has to adjust to the speed of the game, but nobody more so than the quarterback. Those windows that he was throwing in college are going to be way tighter. He's got to throw people open. He's got to get used to that tight, sticky coverage by NFL defensive backs and linebackers. So, like I said, this time of year kind of gets overlooked a lot, but it really helps guys get acclimated to the speed of the coverages. Now, come fall, come August, come training camp, he's going to have to get used to that pass rush getting on him in a hurry.
Scott, looking at the running back room, I think it's one of intrigue throughout the offseason, because you know what you have in Alvin Kamara, even with him getting up there in age. But then Kendra Miller's a question mark. You used a 6th-round draft pick on Devin Neal. And I want to get your thoughts on Devin Neal, because listening to Kellen talk about him, the one thing that really stood out, Kellen was just praising him about his pass protection. He knows what to do when he has to be involved in the pass game. And I thought that's something really interesting, because he praised him for being that advanced as such a young player. He's coming in as a rookie, obviously played a lot at Kansas. He broke all these records there as a running back, but also the pass protection part of the game with him is obviously very advanced.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, you know, a lot of people probably hear the head coach talk about a rookie running back and talk about pass protection, and they don't really want to hear that. It's not the sexiest thing in the world, but it is a huge thing, because it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing, especially as a young guy. I think what that says a lot to me is he's very football smart. He understands X's and O's. To advance that quick in the NFL game, to understand where the blitzes are coming from, to know what he has to do when he check releases, especially on third down, that becomes very intricate. And you're right, that running back room is going to be big. You look at Alvin. Alvin's, it's hard to believe he's already going into year nine. I think it's a huge year for Miller. And listen, Kendrick hasn't played enough football to evaluate him, but the little amount of football he has played, you go back 2 years ago, I think it was the last game of the year against the Panthers at home in the Dome, he looked really, really good. When he stuck his foot in the ground, he went somewhere. So I think this team really needs a huge year out of Kendrick Miller. And you know, you kind of hope you get some contributions from a rookie running back, but you really have to help Alvin. Not because Alvin can't do it anymore, but once you're going to year nine, now you want to get Alvin in space and get him involved in the passing game and try to take some of that wear and tear off the tires.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely on Kendra. I think that's what makes it even more frustrating. It would be easier if you put him out there and he wasn't ever getting anything done. When he's on the field, he's an incredibly talented player. I think a big thing for him this year is, you know, year one, he was coming in off the knee injury in his final college game at TCU, kind of didn't have that offseason program. Last year, it was kind of up and down. I think he was working through some stuff and then got hurt, and he didn't really have that offseason program. You know, I'm just curious where you land on this. Like, I think just being there for the entire time and being healthy should help him just get off to the right start, because it just feels like he's never really had a clear runway to have that kind of breakout season.
I agree 100%. And I think the bursts, the flashes you've seen of him with his size and his explosiveness, I know what gets the front office excited. I know what gets those guys who drafted him excited and give him opportunity after opportunity. But the one thing about it is it's a huge year for him because, you know, Greg Williams always told us your best ability is availability. If you can be there every single week and we can count on you, you'll stick around the NFL a long time. And some players just are injury prone. Some guys know how to take care of their bodies. And I think hopefully by this time in his career, Kendrick knows exactly what he needs to do to make sure he doesn't have those hamstring pulls in individual drills where he misses a training camp and things like that. So you can't help freak accidents. Sometimes things happen, but you want to try to do everything you can do to make sure that you're out there and you're available week in and week out.
You know, jumping over to the defensive side of the ball real quick, and a guy that I think, you know, is kind of a fascinating case study and people overreacting to things is Alante Taylor. You know, he's another guy who I feel like, you know, year two, he spent all training camp working at the outside corner spot. Then they cut Bradley Roby and threw him inside of the nickel spot. And he's like, all right, I guess I play here now. Last year, he played exclusively in the nickel all through camp and then all the injuries. And suddenly, oh, you're a top corner on the outside. Good luck. And I think he struggled at points, and he's been put in difficult situations where, you know, you hear coaches all the time talk about, we want to put guys into positions to succeed. And I don't know if that's necessarily been done for Alante. And I think that's a little bit of what people overreact to when you look at some coverage stats and PFF and that sort of thing. But when I see Alante Taylor, I see a guy who is exactly what you need in a Brandon Staley defensive scheme or one of these modern defensive schemes that want guys to be all over the place. And, you know, I think there is some level of stigma to a guy, you know, okay, you want to be the outside corner because that outside corners get paid and nickel corners don't necessarily get paid. It's the same thing. Oh, you want to be a tackle because tackles get paid and guards don't necessarily get paid. But I don't know. Like, I see Alante Taylor as probably the key to this whole thing. And as far as from a coverage perspective on the Saints defense, and he's going into a contract year. And, you know, if I'm looking at it, I'm like, hey, if you can lock him up early, I'm interested in doing that. I'm just curious, where do you land on Alante and what you've seen over the last 3 years from him?
Yeah, listen, you know, anybody who listened to me last year knows they don't have to talk me into loving the way Alante Taylor plays football. He, you know, there were multiple times last year I called him the best player on defense. And it was more so earlier in the year, middle of the year, when he was playing in the nickel, because I think he's one of the best nickel DBs in the league. When you look at the way he blitzes, the way he's able to get sacks, his timing on those blitzes, his ability to cover tight ends and to tackle, I think it's so valuable. And to your point, you're right. Those guys, nobody wants to play nickel. They all want to play on the outside because that's where you get paid. And it's a shame because I felt like he was more effective. He affected the game way more at nickel corner. So I hope the league changes their mindset with how these nickel guys are getting paid, because they're not an afterthought. They're not just an extra guy out there to replace a linebacker. He is a playmaker. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. But I think truly his home and where he really affects the defense and is his best version of himself is at nickel, just because of those attributes he brings. He's phenomenal at tackling and playing in space and blitzing. And not all those guys are good at that. So hopefully they get an opportunity to move him around and let him be the playmaker he is.
Scott, I know, like you mentioned, we can't see much from the trenches, defensive, offensive line play, but the shift of Trevor Penning inside a left guard with adding Kelvin Banks Jr., leaving him at left tackle, his natural position, moving Taliese Fuaga back over to right tackle, which was his natural position at Oregon State before the Saints had to move him to left tackle in his rookie year. I want to get your thoughts on Penning going inside a guard because, you know, listening to him talk about it, he mentioned that there's less space to work with inside a guard, but it can also highlight his strengths as a player with his physicality and toughness and everything like that. So I know we haven't really gotten to see much, obviously, at OTAs, and we're not going to see much at minicamp. Like, this is going to be something that goes into training camp and then preseason, getting to see him in action at left guard. But your thoughts on the shift?
I love it. I really do. I think it's probably a year too late, and it's not because they didn't want to move him. I remember going up to Dennis Allen last year in training camp and talking about Trevor and saying, you know, God, I think he'd be a great guard just because he's so physical. He's so nasty. He can be a great guard. He doesn't have to go against those guys who are a little bit – he's kind of heavy-footed and struggled at tackle. And, you know, Dennis's answer to me was, yeah, but then who do I put at tackle? It was really they were trying to plug a bunch of holes. And so Trevor kind of had to stay at tackle. I think they really wanted to try him at guard last year, but they just didn't have anybody they could throw out there at right tackle. So to Trevor's credit, he was a huge concern in the training camp. Every day it was like, oh, my gosh, Trevor Penning. But he quietly had an okay season. He did some good things. He struggled a little bit against some of the pass rushers. Like I said, he's a little heavy-footed, but I really think – what his attributes and his strengths are, his size and his strength and his nastiness, I really think he can be a really good guard. So I think this is, when you look at these five guys across the line of scrimmage, just on paper, it should be one of the better offensive lines the Saints have had in the past couple of years. But I really think this move is going to be the best thing for Trevor in his career. I think he'll excel more in there than being out there on an island at tackle.
Yeah, I agree with you as far as Trevor. You know, I watched him every day out at camp, and there were struggles, you know, and I think he does deserve a lot of credit for sticking with it, you know, because I can get in your head real quickly when you were starting to get – there was one day he just got taken apart by Chase Young and, like, back-to-back reps. And I honestly, I went home that day thinking, like, I don't know if he's going to make it through this camp as a starting right tackle. And, you know, I think one of the issues for Trevor in terms of maybe transitioning guard is you – you know, the goal has to be to, like I said, you want to put somebody in a chance to succeed. And I feel like the only chance he had was getting as many reps as possible. So he's not a guy that you were necessarily going to cross train. And I kind of feel the same about that this year. Like, it's no longer like, okay, he's a tackle and we're trying him out of the guard. I think he is a guard. Like, you have now changed his position. I would be like, Kellen Moore has kind of played coy and said, hey, we're gonna move some stuff around. We're gonna shuffle a little bit. I kind of feel like you just got to stick him at guard and let him work there and ride it out and see what happens. I don't necessarily think it would benefit him to be splitting reps at guard and tackle.
No, certainly not, especially. The best thing that ever happened to Trevor Penning was the Banks was there at number 9 and the Saints took him. I really believe that because, you know, I really think the better fit for Trevor is at guard. But just like I said, I think it's a year later than they wanted to make that move. And let's be honest, when you're an organization and you draft an offensive lineman in the first round at offensive tackle, it is a hard thing to say, okay, we'll just make him a guard because you almost kind of admit that you were wrong on the pick. But, you know, at this point, the fact that you're going to have two really good young tackles, it's an easy way to make that move as an organization. And like I said, I think it's a great thing for Trevor's career.
Okay, now just kind of broad here. This will be my last question for you, and we'll let you go. You know, it's an interesting time for I think because the Saints are not getting a lot of credit in terms of national media. They're getting put all the way down at the bottom of power rankings, and the over under on wins is 5.5. But I kind of feel like this is the most upbeat I've seen Saints fans in a while. I think despite that, I think fans and the general sentiment is high. I think people are looking forward to this season more than maybe some of these other seasons where it was like, okay, playoffs are bust just because, you know, it's all gravy. I'm just curious, where do you land on your expectations for this season and what's kind of your excitement level to see all this play out?
Yeah, I can understand, you know, the Saints fans' excitement because there's a lot of unknowns. And with unknowns, you've kind of seen the same thing the last 3 years where it just was kind of a win one, lose one, get in on these bad stretches. You kind of knew what you were getting with certain veteran players playing positions. And now, especially the quarterback position, when you have young players, there's a lot of optimism around fan bases when you have young guys at that position. And I think just the influx with a new head coach, it's kind of a clean slate. And I also think there's optimism on the fan base's part because expectations are so low. No one's really expecting much from you. You have a chance to shock a lot of people. And 5.5 wins, it is. Like, I was kind of shocked at that number, too. I know you're going to have a new quarterback, and it's going to be a young quarterback. You have a first-time head coach. But, you know, we were in that situation in 2006. Nobody expected anything out of you. You win a few games early on. You get rolling a little bit. And you obviously need a little bit of luck and to stay healthy, but I think it's set up great for the Saints to surprise a lot of people. It's disappointing that they didn't get any primetime games. Everybody loves playing in primetime, but to that point, it gives you a little chance to kind of sneak under the radar for the season.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is you're predicting NFC Championship.
I don't know about that. Well, I would take over 5.5 wins. I do think that. I think the Saints, and I love the home schedule. I think there's a lot of very winnable games at home. And if you can protect the dome and win those games at home, and then you go on the road and steal a couple games on the road, and before you know it, you've won 9 or 10 games. So I think this team is going to be better than the national media expects, for sure.
All right, Scott Shanley, former Saints linebacker, Super Bowl champion. Appreciate you taking the time, man. You have a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. I'm excited. I'm sold. Let's do it. Mini camp the next 3 days. We're going to be out there 3 days of practice. Not appointment viewing, but there's going to be appointments. We're going to have fans out there. All the tents are set up. I drove by the other day. It feels like training camp season, Charlie.
Yeah, we're getting to it. I mean, it's going to be about a month, maybe in like a week. It's like 5 weeks in between mini camp and training camp where that's really the dead part. But we'll be kind of previewing training camp. And then once we get to training camp, it's the whole thing like, oh, the preseason's almost here. And then once you get to preseason, it's like, when do regular season games start? It's like a whole kind of, the wheel starts spinning and it starts really next week.
Oh, yeah. No, I was saying this the other day. It's like over the last month, we're going to have, by the end of this week, we'll have had 6 practices to talk about and a month to talk about them. And then a month from now, we'll have a billion practices. They'll be doing full contact pads and it'll be like drinking through a fire hose. And we'll have forgotten all about what we've been talking about nonstop for the past month. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the rest of this show. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, taking you up till 8 p.m. on Sports Talk. Keep it locked on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Coming back in on Sports Talk and down towards the bottom of the hour, taking up till 8 p.m., Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. There's only one super regional game left going on, and it does happen to be a team that LSU might have to reckon with in their side of the College World Series bracket. Charlie, what's going on there?
So Murray State got off to that hot start, Jeff. They had a leadoff home run. They load the bases in the top of the first inning, and you're thinking, oh, Murray State might take a huge lead here early on. They only end up with two runs in the first, and then Duke answers with a run of their own. And ever since then, it's kind of been a couple zeros put up here. We're heading to the bottom of the third right now. The game's live on ESPN, and we'll keep you updated because this is the last game to decide the final eighth spot of the 2025 College World Series. Once again, that's Murray State 2, Duke 1.
Yeah, leaving runners on base in a closeout game or a winner-take-all game is not how you want to approach, especially when you're a big underdog.
Yeah, exactly. But those numbers about Duke were incredible from ESPN, and I've been very critical of ESPN's coverage of college baseball. Not necessarily the announcers. I thought Ben McDonald was fantastic this past weekend, by the way, covering the Baton Rouge Super Regional as kind of the color announcer with their play-by-play guy. But Duke losing six straight winning in games to make it to the College World Series. The last time they made it was 1961. And this is a Duke team that in basically the last decade, they've won a bunch of regionals. They've been really good in the postseason, but they haven't been able to break through to Omaha. So, you know, getting down early, we'll see what Murray State can do. But Murray State as a four seed, I mean, if they make it to the College World Series, that would be a story in of itself.
The best compliment I can give to Ben McDonald, flattest hair in the business. No one's hair is flatter than Ben McDonald's.
He's awesome. I love Ben. I mean, Big Ben's a friend of the program. He's come on with us multiple times throughout, you know, basically the past 6 months, kind of talking about this LSU baseball team, and they've made it to the pinnacle. The 2025 College World Series, which is what Jay Johnson keeps saying he builds his whole life around, is getting to this point. We'll see what they can do in this bracket.
No doubt. All right. One more break here, and then we'll close out the hour. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long, taking you up till 8 p.m. on Sports Talk. Keep it locked on WBL. Back in on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long, taking you up till 8 p.m. Reminder, Saints mandatory minicamp begins tomorrow. Saints legend Bobby Hebert and our WWL sports team will bring you unmatched coverage of the black and gold tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday on air and online. Join us every day for minicamp news, views, and key takeaways, plus every day on Sports Talk from 4 to 8 p.m. Catch the Cajun Cannons All-Pro analysis, plus post-practice comments from head coach Kellen Moore and key players. If you can't get enough Saints football, keep it locked on the home of black and gold, WWL. Also, a pair of open practices the next 2 days. We'll talk more about that on the next hour. We'll also have D1 Baseball's SEC writer Mark Etheridge to give us the lowdown on the College World Series bracket. You got Murray State and Duke trying to figure out which one of them is going to get in there.
Duke just tied it up.
Tied up at 2-2.
420-foot solo shot.
That's a long
bomb.
That's a dinger. That's a tater, as the kids say. But all right, keep it locked on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.